Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Even the Rich is a podcast from Wondery that tells the jaw-dropping stories about the tumultuous lives of the world's elite. From the greatest family dynasties to pop culture superstars.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch or Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me on this wonderful morning is none other than the man, the myth, the legend, the star, the most hilarious person I know, Mr. Ronnie Karam. How are you, Ronnie?
Well, you're the little sweet tart. How are you doing, Bendels?
I'm great. Well, you know,
Mr. Bendelsons.
I'm sipping on my first few sips of coffee of the day, and I'm coming to life like a beautiful flower. We just recorded Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, so that recap should already be up, or maybe it'll be up after this. Who knows? So I'm just like excited because Top Chef, it's Top Chef Day, my favorite day of the week. How are you doing?
Top Chef. I'm doing great. We were in Toronto and Philadelphia this week. What a couple of cities. What a beautiful trip we had. So many kind people. So much fun. Crazy audiences. It was really a great week of live shows. So thank you to everybody who came out and gave us some love and made us cookies and gave us some gifts and gave us hugs. And you guys make us feel so good. So thank you so much for all your support all the time. Okay. We love you guys. Say it every day. But you know what? When you hear something every day, you think this probably doesn't mean anything anymore. Literally love you guys. So thank you.
Yeah. It was so fun, both cities. And we're over, like, beyond even the halfway point with our tour. We only have a few dates left. We have New York City and D.C. coming up mid-May. And then in June, we have our final stretch before the end of the Cheetah Brand tour. Cheetah Brand, huh? So San Diego, St. Paul, Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, Boston, and the Foxwoods Resort in Connecticut. And then it's over. Then our touring is done for the year. So if you miss us, then you'll have to wait until 2024. And who wants to do that? No one, of course. So go to Watch Our Crappens.
Absolutely nobody wants to wait till
nobody
wants to
wait.
It's going to be a whole new game by then, guys.
Who knows what new scandals will break by then, okay? So go to watchorcrappens.com and get your tickets to see us live and be with your people. And if you're worried
also
about
the, the bonus episode this week, super fun. It was another airport snaps. That's where we sit in an airport and make fun of people. So if you're into that kind of bonus episode, check that out on our Patreon along with our bonus videos and Dwell Hello, which is our House Hunters podcast. That's twice a month. You can find that on Wondery plus ad-free episodes of Crappens.
Yeah, we love all of that stuff. So without further ado, why don't we get into some Top Chef? Top Chef! Hi, Chef.
Let's do it. Hi, everybody. Let's watch everybody get in the morning. It's amazing. Buddha makes his bed by using a mold shaped as a bed that he's brought with him.
He didn't actually sleep in a bed. He slept in an agar solution that was solidified in a mold to look like a bed.
I'd like to thank Xanthan Gum for getting Buddha a very good night's rest.
Buddha loves molds. Wow, that's his thing this year. Last year, his thing was all about having very literal plates of food. And this year, it's all about molds. Molds, molds, and more molds.
And, you know, I love my Buddha, but if I got served a dish shaped like hands holding each other or then a banana the next week, I would say, fuck off with your molds. I can't believe the chefs haven't started calling him out for using so many molds. It's just, at this point, it's cheap.
It's gimmicky.
Like it's cheap.
It's annoying. By the way, so last week he made his banoffee pie. And guess what? When Ronnie and I were in Toronto, guess what we ate? Banoffee pie.
Some banoffee pie. We sure did.
But it was in the shape of a pie wedge. So I was so impressed that the restaurant had a pie wedge mold. I was like, wow. I didn't think that'd have it.
I know. I was like, I would have preferred a banana mold because, like, how am I supposed to know what this is?
This feels a little on the nose. I mean, it's a wedge of pie shaped like a wedge of pie. I don't know how I feel about that.
Super weird. But I have to say, it was delicious.
It was so good.
The food there is delicious. And I guess the Americans stole that because, you know, that's how we do things. And we changed it to banana cream pie is like kind of our version. Bonafide pie or Bonafide pie, whatever you call it, wins. Bonafide of the vanities, okay? That shit wins. That is way better than ours. I was like, real bananas? This is nuts.
I'm waiting for a new Real Housewife named Bonafide. Hi, my name is Bonafide Jenkins. I'm from Tennessee, and my husband owns the largest roller coaster south of the Mason-Dixon line.
I may be named after a banana, but I will never peel out of a fight.
I love it. So anyway, the chefs are now gathering in the garden at their hotel just to sit there and talk. And Amara's like, how crazy was that challenge, right? Like, that was almost as crazy as the time I went to Morocco. And I was there in Morocco. What a crazy time being in Morocco. Wow.
And Tom's like, the picnic? I love the picnic. How else do you think I feel about it? And he's like, I did the worst dish. They hated it. They really did. I have an idea in my head, and then it turns out the opposite of that, and then being pounded by the judges like I'm in a sling in downtown Berlin at 4:30 a.m. on a Wednesday. At least give me some papas, guys. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know if I should be angry or if I should ejaculate. It was a mix of emotions.
And Sarah's like, well, you can win, and then the very next time you go home, or you can be on the bottom, and then get pounded like crazy until you're bleeding out of your nose. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't going to go there, but God, I've got a quilt company for you. I'll tell you that much.
So now they get into their BMWs, and Sarah's feeling good about today. She's like, I think it's going to be tits out today. So,
can I just say... loved the breakfast section because Sarah has a Danish and a giant croissant, and that is why she is my girl. Okay, yeah. She does not give a fuck. And then in the car, she's like, tits out, and she literally has her tits out. She's just feeding in the car. Yeah,
just pumping. So now we arrive at the quick fire, and Padma is standing next to an enormous, like, cell phone kind of thing. There's a bunch of emojis on it. And next to her, please welcome Chef Gaganand. 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 I think it's Gaganand. I knew I was going to do this on the podcast. I was like, Ben, it's not, because I know it's not Gaganand. Because that's what I want to say.
I think it's Gagan. Chef Gagan. Gagan. I think it's Chef Gagan, but then some people say Gugund.
Gugund.
And some people say Gagan. So I think everybody was like, you know, we'll just kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
I will say the chef was dressed like 20 different, what's the director's name? I'm trying to think of the Nightmare Before Christmas guy.
Oh,
what's
Tim
that
Burton.
Guy's name? He was dressed like 20 Tim Burton movies in one person.
Yes.
It's like he attacked the cop. He's like a wacky chef. He's like, I'm crazy. Look at all the crazy things I'm about to do for you.
Yes. It was like a little Alton Brownish, like around 2003, you know?
He's got like a little Paddington Bear kind of outfit, but also, yeah, the set piece
it is
covered
Paddington.
In emojis.
Yeah. Sort of.
And I was traumatized because I was on a game show one time about emojis and I couldn't guess anything. I was a fucking moron. So I see these emojis and my butthole clenched and I just started crying. So no. It took me a minute to come back in here.
I'm sorry. Well, apparently he's like an enormous, amazing, super famous chef, but I haven't actually seen Chef's Table and I have a blind spot to him, so I didn't know who he was. So Padma's like, I think some of you may recognize the chef standing next to me, food rebel and future my friend, Mr. Gaganand. Hi, Gagan.
Chefs, are you ready to express yourselves in pajama pants like Gagan does? Love the pajama pants. Jeez. But Gail's worn that as a ball gown before. Just warning you, just in case you're wearing the same thing when she shows up. And he's like, years ago, I was getting my menu ready on an iPad. And I was like, oh my God, he's already a rebel. Sitting there with his iPad. Just sitting with his Apple Pencil like, how can I change the world of food today? shroom, shroom, double finger backspace.
Yes, I was doing it on my iPad, and a suggested emoji came up, and I thought, let me get to a global language of emoji that will express emotions of my dish. And that's how I came up with a menu of emojis. And already I'm just sort of laughing because I love when chefs do this. Like, we need food to be universal for everyone. Speak to a universal language. I'm like, well, how many people can afford to eat at your restaurant? Because I would like to know what the prices are at this restaurant.
We already know how to do universal food. It's called McDonald's, okay? Like, you're not teaching us anything. This is like the Zoolander of chefs, okay? Like, you just see this older guy sitting there like, I've still got it. The agents think I don't have it? Ah, well, let's see if I still have it, huh? Has anyone else made a menu of emojis? Oh, guess what? I'm making a menu based off TikTok dances. That's what I'm doing.
It always makes me think of David Chang and one of his shows, one that was on Hulu. I know I brought this up before, but it still always strikes me that he had a whole episode talking about the rise of Postmates and Uber Eats and apps like that, how they are hurting restaurants because the people who were formerly hired to be couriers or whatever, they are being displaced by Postmates, and now there's automation, and that's like the common man is being hurt by Postmates. Postmates is ruining the common man. I'm like, sir, have you seen the prices in your restaurant? And you're going to complain to me about the common man? Come on now.
Seriously. Postmates is the common man. That is the common. You guys are fucking ridiculous. We went out the other night. I mean, going anywhere even decent is ridiculous. We went to a decent place the other night. That food was like $40 an entree. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
For a piece of trout without even salt on it. And that's like your thing. You guys are like, oh, wow, look, it's just taste the innards of the trout. No, I want fucking salt and lemon on that shit. If I wanted to just eat a fucking trout with nothing on it, I'd have gone fishing, you fucks. Put something on it. But, and they're like, $40, idiot. And here's your banana banoffee pie for 20 something. It's like, fuck off.
It was a delicious banoffee pie, though. But that being said, though, it
better have been. That pie should have given me a goddamn blowjob for that price. Okay.
Sorry, that mold is still in production. But yeah, no, like chefs have like a
the
hard
BJ
on.
The BJ mold, you're right. I already own that.
The chefs have a hard on, though, when it comes to like trying to be like, yeah, we're just like the common man. But then they like have, they preside over some of the most elite, rarefied spaces. So anyway,
right, they're the ones who are like, guys, you know what we're doing? Like, this is what kills me about California cuisine, like living in California so long. California cuisine is like, we're simple, man. We're like rustic California. If you can grow it, you can plate it. And that's like literally it. If you can't grow it, you can't plate it. And I'm like, wow. So thanks for that carrot salad for $47, you fucks. This is literally just fucking vegetables with nothing, like a little tiny bit of balsamic vinaigrette. Like, you guys aren't even making an effort, you know?
Anyway, chefs, for your quick fire challenge today, you'll each choose one of these emojis and make a dish that's inspired by it. Get excited. Unfortunately, there's no emoji for moss and weeds. Sorry, Sarah.
Sorry that we don't have a crusty blanket emoji, Sarah. But so Victoire is excited because finally she can find a way to do African food. And she's like, I could just, as long as I get fire or a heart or a sun, like, she's like, I'll make anything into African food. And Gagan is like, well, I want you to think about the dish and the emotion of the emoji, because the word emoji comes from the word emotion. I was like, wow, thanks.
Wow, deep.
So Omar is like, that banana is looking at me. So it's not as funny.
And it's also wearing pajamas, which is weird. So then Gabri chooses the flame. So Victoire basically, she gets to the cell phone and all the emojis that she wants are done. But they're still like, not done, but they're taken. But there's still plenty of emojis there. But she just settles on the sushi emoji. She's like, well, I don't know about sushi. It's not my thing, but I take it. I'm like, what? Why did you take the sushi emoji?
Extremely weird. There was still a sad face, a unicorn, a rainbow, a gross face, like a grossed out face, a devil, and pancakes. And you chose sushi, pancakes, even though you don't know much about sushi. I was like, she's gone. I was like, this is the episode where Victoria's gone. And Padma, when she goes, okay, time starts now, and everyone starts charging the emoji thing, she runs out of the way like she's standing in front of the croissant table at Gail's house. I mean, I've never seen Padma just split like that.
Sorry, I just found out Ali Wong is having a premiere in 10 seconds. Gotta go.
So Sarah's like, well, I got sun, so I'm serving all the nightshades. And Amar says he grew up eating plantains, so he's going to do that. Because he was born in the Dominican Republic. And he tells, this is Amar's story. We don't get much Amar story. I think that...
Unless that's due to Amar Morocco.
Just kind of... I feel like Amar's backstory is just worn on his face. It's like a lot of 40s. And, like, just fun times at barbecues is what he looks like to me. So we get his backstory. He was born in the Dominican Republic. He grew up poor. And his grandfather used to give him sugar water and tell him, this is going to make you sleep better. And that's why he eats so many sweets. And I'm telling you, this is food addiction. This is where it starts. And it all goes back to our fucking grandparents, who we all remember so lovingly, don't we? I mean, I remember mine. Those fuckers, I saw a documentary the other day on Netflix where parents put Coca-Cola into the baby bottles of their kids.
Wow.
And that's normal. It was like 80% of people do that. Really? No wonder. I'm blaming my weight issues literally on Amar's grandfather right now, and I need to stop projecting. But I got furious.
I liked it. So Nicole chose the disguise emoji, so she's gonna do a play on meat and rice by making she's gonna disguise the meat and rice in a meatball, which doesn't seem like much of a surprise, but she is gonna cover it in like stuff. And then Dale, oh god, I can't stand Dale. So Dale has the heart emoji, and he's gonna cook something for his mom. So you know he's an asshole, right? Because we already know he's an asshole, but like the one of the greatest signs of someone being an asshole is they talk a lot about their mom. You know, it's that way. It's like a compensation. It's like their armor. Like, you can't come for them because they love their mom.
They love their mama, man. And he's like, well, they're making eggplant jokes with each other, I guess, because Nicole's like, Dale, are you an eggplant guy? And he's like, ha. You know, I've thrown a few out there. He's like, eggplant? She goes, eggplants? He goes, I'm more of a medium zucchini. But I've got the heart emoji. And my mom makes the best chicken noodle soup. This one's for you, Mom. This one's for you. Comes from the heart.
Yeah. So Ali has a clover, so he's going to make a salad. And Charbel has a... for some reason...
I mean, come on. These people. Now, then again... They have literally 30 minutes. I don't know how they're going to make anything. I think these challenges are unfair. You need at least an hour.
For some reason, I like chuckled when Charbel says, I have a duck, so I'm making a duck. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, he just, the idea of like Charbel is so serious. Like, I don't think we've ever seen him smile this entire season. I just imagine him going for a duck emoji. Like, the idea of this very serious person going for one of the goofiest birds that's out there. I mean, let's be honest. A duck is a very goofy bird, and that's like what he... Like, I thought he'd go for a serious emoji, like the person crying, or just, was there an emoji of just, like, a sad moon or something, you know?
There are so many emojis. My favorite one is the hug one. Hugs, the one that's got little hands like this.
Hands coming out of its cheeks, which is a little weird.
I love that. The hugs one, and then recently I realized I haven't been giving enough love to the world because the hugs was no longer on my most used. Mm. And I was like, wow, I have not hugged in a long time. So I made sure to get that right back on there. And I feel better. That's I feel good. Like I've given more to the world now that my hug emoji's back.
I like the embarrassed emoji with just like the eyes and the mouth that just is just like a big, like, you know.
I forgot to tell you. So you remember, this is a few weeks ago. Sorry, listeners, just join me on this for a minute.
I know what this is going to be about.
A few weeks ago, I was talking about there's an emoji with something coming out of the side of the emoji's head. It's like a nose that's growing on the top of the head. It's like growing out of it. I didn't know what the fuck it was. I was like, what is the growth coming out of your head? It's like a Pinocchio, but your head grows a growth? Like, what is it? And no one could tell me what it is. I asked all the audience to tell me. No one knew what the fuck I was talking about. So then finally, I saw Ben, and I was like, this one here. And he's like, that's the salute emoji.
It's the ham saluting. I like it. It just, you know, like, it just shows you have a different interpretation of the world. Yet you look at things, you have a different perspective. One person sees a salute, another person sees a growth. It could have been like it. Someone sees an explosion of a head. You know.
I need more linear. I don't know. I need thicker lines. Okay, increase your line thickness. Jesus.
So anyway, Victoire is making rice with a poached scallops, and she's basically like, "It's not good. I'm cooking, but like a machine without inspiration. It's not enough." I'm like, Victoire, why did you take the sushi emoji?
Dude, at least follow the inspiration of the emoji. It's raw fish and rice, and you're poaching scallops.
I know you're doing the emoji wrong.
What are you doing?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Scammers are best known for living the high life. Globetrotting on private jets, dining at five-star restaurants, and driving six-figure sports cars. That is, until their house of cards collapses and they're forced to trade it all in for handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit. Scamfluencers is a podcast from Wondery, hosted by Sarah Hagee and Saatchi Cole, that tells the unbelievable true stories behind some of the world's most infamous scams, swindlers, and con artists. Scamfluencers has covered jaw-dropping scandals, from Ponzi schemes to a fake Saudi prince to a sexual predator masquerading as a wholesome yoga guru. These scammers cost their victims hundreds of millions of dollars and immeasurable emotional anguish. So how does our culture allow them to thrive? Each story on Scamfluencers will take you along the twists and turns, the impact on victims, and what's left when the facade falls away. Follow Scamfluencers wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
So then Buddha's opening up a coconut, and he's like, "Oh, I feel like taking an emoji that already relates to food puts you in a box, so I'm going to do something that represents snow. Because when I see the freezing face, I'm like, when would you feel it? When you're in a suit, when you're super cold, of course." Like, wow, the revelations coming out of Buddha. I mean, the way that he connected feeling cold to being someplace that's cold. Wow, blew my mind.
Yeah, and then he's standing next to Sarah, and he's like, he's like chopping into this coconut, and he's like, "Sorry if I'm splattering you." And Sarah's like, "I said the same thing to Nicole the whole way here." And then Buddha's like, "Well, oh, I'm going to resent snow. I resent snow. Hold on, let me go back to what Buddha's." Buddha's like,
"I decided today I will resent snow."
Snow deeply.
It's nothing to do with the show. I just wanted to tell everyone today that this isn't the weather I dislike the most.
He's going to represent snow, and he's bought a mold of a skull, and he's going to make a white chocolate snow sorbet. Wow, another mold. You're really
mold breaking the mold with the molds.
So, really mold forward season for you.
Leaning into the molds. Gabri's making something that's going to be super spicy because when he was three, he was playing around an electric kettle and it fell over and his three legs were burned to the point where like his tendons were showing. I don't know. I was like, just tell me that you're burned.
The hell? I don't need to. I know you're also making Mexican soup. Of course you can make something spicy, you know. But he's explaining why he specifically picked the fire, and it's because of that trauma. And he's like, "Yeah, I was playing by the electric stove, and then I got my legs burnt, and that makes me who I am now. Because fire touched me, and now I control the fire." I was like, you go, fucking Targaryen. Fucking Gabri. Gabri Targaryen, go
very
boy.
House of the Dragons. It also had that self-serious statement that like was very House of the Dragons. Like, I control the fire. So
yeah, I love it.
Amar's working with
go
Stilton.
Drew Barrymore. Go Drew Barrymore film from the 80s.
/ reboot on Peacock. And Buddha is being quirky because he's putting his coconut sorbet into the mold with the skull on it. And he goes,
"I can't.
It represents the freezing to death element." Oh, that's... That's personally what I look for and when I have my desserts is coming face to face with my own mortality should I decide to get lost in a winter squall.
And by the way, Amar's doing a butterscotch miso with sweet and sour salty flavors with Stilton cheese. Just like blue cheese. And Nicole's like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, me and Stilton go way back." It's like, wow. So Gagan and Padma come back, and Padma's like, 1 minute left, dum-dums. And so they're plating like crazy, and Victoire knows hers isn't good. But anyways, time's up. Hands up, utensils down, please. Hands up, utensils down.
All right, Buddha, why don't you come up here first? So Buddha comes up with his thing and goes, I call it freezing myself to death.
You've got frozen coconut water and coconut sorbet. And Padma gives her famous,
freezing myself to death. Wow, that's just like the time that Gail got trapped inside a good humor machine. Do they have machines like that? I meant truck. Anyway.
So there's a puree under the skull that is raspberry and... I wrote Danson, but I know it's not like Ted Danson.
No, I think he said Danson. Like Danson, Danson, which I don't know what that is, but it was something. Oh. Yeah.
Ted Danson. So it's raspberry and little
puree
pieces
of Ted Danson. Danson.
Yeah. And Gagan's like, I like how you thought about emotion. What emotion? It's a dead skull. There's not an emotion there. It's a skull.
It's literally the final season of Game of Thrones, North of the Wall, in a bowl as dessert.
Cold is not an emotion. It's a personality type. You know?
So next is Nicole with a disguised emoji, and she's serving a crispy meatball with comdep stained with pandan leaf. And Pamela goes, I like the crunch. It's exciting. Sort of like Gail's hair every day. Crunchy.
So Gagan's like, oh, spicy, but it's good. And then Ali's next, and he's like, I chose the green leaf emoji. And Gagan goes, that's the four-leaf clover.
Clover.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Or if you're Gail, it's pounds of leprechaun cereal at 4 a.m. And I guess it could mean different things to different people.
Raise your hand if you know what a four-leaf clover is. Everyone? Oh, sorry, not Ali. Oh, well.
So Dale's like, I think that emoji might be different in the Middle East. And Ali's like, well, anyway, I made a salad with a mix of herbs and cucumber gazpacho. And Padma's like, herbaceous.
Exacto. That was for you, Victoire, so you can know what I'm saying. So now comes Tom. Tom had the crown emoji, so he's serving a creamy sauerkraut with smoked trout and amaranth puffs. And Padma goes, Tom, what emoji did you choose? Did you choose the leather sling emoji? Because I'm not sure we have that in the States yet.
I'm sorry, did you get the ball gag emoji? What's going on here, Tom? And Tom's like, well, when I was young, we had a King Day where our dad would take us fishing. And we found out it was Queen's Day. So we gave my mom a break while my brother was better than me at everything. And so I did this. And she's like, I don't really know what the fuck you're talking about, but this is super flavorful. Tastes like a popper. He's like, Donka.
Great story, by the way. If you're looking to publish it, I definitely know some novelists. Because I know people. Bye.
So then Victoire, and Padma's like, wow, Victoire, what emoji did you have? Is there a sad scallop emoji on there? I've ever seen a scallop frown before. Anyone?
Let's see. Is this the emoji for accidentally cooked the sushi? I don't know. It's a very specific one.
And she's like, sushi. I made fish and rice, and I poached the scallop. And she's like, is there coconut? That's my way of saying, why is the sushi cooked?
Sorry, Victoire, this makes no sense. Okay, moving on. Sarah, what was it like discovering the concept of emojis? You don't have a phone, correct?
Sarah, could you please not breastfeed during judging? I really don't mind it at work in general, but like we're trying to eat here. She's like, oh, all right, sorry.
Sarah, has your emoji been to Paris? No. Oh, that's too bad.
I chose the sun today, and I made for you nightshades, burnt eggplant, pureed gold bar squash, and green zucchini. And she goes, I didn't realize zucchini was in the nightshade family. And Sarah's like, I think so. No, not really.
Hold on, excuse me. I'm getting a phone call from my dear friend, Ali Wong. Hi, Ali. Oh my God, I love your show Beef. It's so good. Anyway, guess what? There's some stupid idiot here who thinks that zucchini is part of the nightshades. I know! Isn't that ridiculous? What should I say to her? Okay, I'll say that exact thing. Hold on. Sarah, you're stupid. Okay, Ali, I said it. Bye.
Ali just ordered three 30-ounce bottles of breast milk. So at least you got an order in there, Sarah. Now please go back to being stupid in the back line.
Sarah, please go back to putting these zucchinis on top of light bulbs. She thinks they're lampshades.
So then Dale had the heart emoji, and Gagan's like, oh, these noodles, are these handmade? And he's Padman's like, chicken soup in half an hour. That's a touch crazy, don't you think, Gagan? I'm asking this to a man who's wearing pajamas on television with socks pulled up to his knees, by the way.
I mean, who makes chicken soup in 30 minutes? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And this is coming from someone who listened to Sarah make a monologue about quilts in her hometown. Come on!
And Dale just gulps. And then Gabri got fire, and he made red shrimp chile tole with good berries. And Padma's like, just like the berries. It's good. And Nicole's like, oh my God, that guy's just so cute, isn't he? He's just a little cute Gabri. So then Charbel announces that he got the duck emoji, so he made duck. Because my dad took me duck hunting. It's like, wow.
When I was a child, I played Duck Hunt on Nintendo because it was came with Super Mario. And
me and my sister used to play Duck Hunt, and it meant a lot to me.
My sister, her name was Webby, and my brothers, Huey and Dewey, we felt connected to ducks, so.
So then Amar got the banana emoji, so he did a Stilton and miso plantain, and Padma goes, wow!
Gagan goes, I love it. It's all BBB. Blue cheese, bananas, bacon. I almost wish BB Newworth were here to enjoy it, because then we could add two more to it.
That's interesting. I always thought BBB was butt, breast, back of throat. So this is it. Please be quiet over there, Tom. All right. Please stop sexually fetishizing every dish that comes out. That would be great.
You know, to Gail, BBB means bones, brake fluid, and bear hides, also known as her breakfast. Sorry, that was a little hard to get out. Because I have so much of Amar's BBB in my mouth right now. Love it.
So, my good friend Gaggy, how'd they do? And he's like, you all cooked with your heart. And she's like, well, a few fell a little, Dale. I'm sorry, short. So, who was some of our least favorites?
Who has less heart? Who, since they all cook with their heart, who has the worst heart here? Please tell us.
Who has the ugliest heart?
Whose heart has the least potential? So he goes, he's like, well, you know, Ali was just too simple. Also, you didn't know what a four-leaf clover was. I mean, how embarrassing for you, for crying out loud.
And he's like, Dale, I'm from Asia, and we love our chicken soup, but, you know, the heart is a very difficult thing to represent. It's like, also, the chicken noodle soup sucks. Just say it, okay? And Padma's like, yeah, 30 minutes isn't enough time to get chicken soup to the level it needs to be in this competition, dummy.
But if you're interested in going on to Chopped, I can put in a word with Ted Allen if you'd like.
Or as we call him, Ted Campbell's. Hey. The lowest rung of food competition soup.
Hey, we hear there's going to be a local fair outside of Winnetka, Illinois. If you want to try making chicken soup for them, by all means, have at it. Just not
and I love
this
that she says, like, this level of the competition. Like, oh my God. We really have had some delicious chicken noodle soups on this competition.
I know.
And so Gagan is also picking Victoire. He's like, sushi means uncooked, and your scallops were cooked, and you just used fish and rice, and that doesn't really complete an emoji. And she's like, yeah, whatever, fine, fuck.
Is it?
Jesus.
I love that Gagan is so, he's like, super, he's so creative. He wears, like, different types of corduroys, and yet, like, the sushi emoji must be interpreted super literally. Couldn't it just mean like fish and rice? Does it have to be sushi necessarily in Victoria's
defense?
Well,
I think it's just so it's just so exactly the emoji but done wrong, you know, like there's nothing creative about
it.
She was in the uncanny valley.
Yeah, she's in the uncanny valley.
It's just ridiculous. Like if she had done something like cooked fish but uncooked rice, which I don't know how you would do that, but something where she's kind of flipping it on her head, I would get that, but yeah, I don't know.
All right, now for some good news. They've tranquilized Gail. All right, and now who's on top of this competition? Nicole, you know, it was good to get that smack of flavor, which is what Gail says every time you throw a fruit roll-up at her, so go have at it.
Oh, guys, let me try that again. Can we do that again? I'm standing on my gel mat now. I got too excited because
it was exciting news.
Yeah. Okay, and now for the good news. I have the highest Instagram follower account out of all of the chefs combined. Thank you. Gagan, would you like any lines? It's like, Nicole, I was very surprised because the green Grinchy-looking thing, that was your food, but it was meatball, and it was fiercely spiced. What a great disguise. Yes. Tell that rice it's safe from the government now. Skies is rice, idiot.
If anyone wants to give any candy bars to Nicole's dish, have at it because it's dressed for Halloween. It's in a disguise. Anyway, Buddha.
Yeah, Buddha. He's like, Buddha, that was like, wow, that was like one of my dishes. Padman's like, yeah. And one more favorite, Amar. Banana, blue cheese, bacon, and bold. I would like to steal that idea for one of my restaurants. So the chef who won today took the competition to the next level, Chef Buddha. I was like, Buddha won with fucking coconut milk sorbet in a skeleton mold? Are you kidding me?
It's like, I am so proud of you. You made the most pretentious food here today. Congratulations. So Pama goes, all right, now Gagan has something in store for your next challenge. So, poor people, come out here with some cloches, thank you. So a bunch of people come out with like the cloches, the domes over the plates. They're all put down in front of them. Everyone gets a cloche. Chefs, please remove your cloches. No, Sarah, cloches, not clothes, for crying out loud. Keep it together.
So it's continents. And it's like dishes with colorful continents on them.
It's better than Gail's like, house, where it's more like incontinence, if you know what I'm saying.
One of the dishes Gagan has on his menu is called Rainbow World. And he's like, in COVID times, there was a lot of hatred. So I thought I would spread love with this plate, which can only be bought by 0.005% of the population that is too rich to hate in the first place.
For the people who wait 9 months to get a reservation in my restaurant and pay $200, this plate is for them.
I created this dish in a time when restaurants weren't open to help hatred.
For all the people who are in the streets with fighting and angry, this is a dish they can think about when they're not at my restaurant because they'll never get in.
And it is interesting because he's talking about how there was so much hatred and stuff during that time. And that was a crazy time back to our country. But I didn't really think of that as a particularly LGBT time in our community. I'm forgetting something, but he's like, especially with the LGBT community. I was like, wait a minute. I don't know that was really our community that was going through it.
Well, there was the Puerto Vallarta incident where all the gays went to a giant circuit party and then there was gays over COVID and we're like, stop doing this, gays. Stop going to parties when we're trying to get through a pandemic. But no, I agree. Yeah. I feel like, you know, given that there's always a certain amount that our community is going through, I agree. I don't think that was the community that was bearing the largest brunt.
That was literally the Black Lives Movement.
That was George Floyd.
That was like literally the timeline of that. Yeah. I mean, thanks for the plates. They're very pretty. So he's like, wherever this planet, they're born to love each other. And Gabri's like, this is a great moment. Not only is one of the greatest chefs in the world going to try my food, I'm going to get to lick his plate.
So the idea is that you don't use your hands to eat it. You literally lick the plate and you're like French kissing the world, basically.
Sarah's like, oh my God, it's like my reception dinner.
Amara's just, he's like, well, licking the plate is nothing new for me. And then we see the flashback of him licking his plate in Portland. And basically this plate that looks like it's just like food coloring is actually takes many days of dehydrating fruits and flowers and all these things. It's the culmination of many hours of molecular gastronomy right there on your plate. And Padma goes, and it's Padma very just good.
Like, yeah, she like just like it. She like pokes her tongue at it. She's like, mmm, very good.
I'm gonna lick the homes of all my friends. Oh, that was Angela Merkel in Germany. Oh, that was Michiko Kakutani in New York City. Oh, that was David Chang. Hi, David.
So Dale's like, well, I think the concept is interesting, and I'm definitely tasting it, but. God, there's some chefs who are really lapping it up, and it just shows Sarah with her face like buried in it. She's like, I know.
Sarah has a globe on her face when she puts that, when she puts it down. So, and Buddha, of course, Buddha is being so ridiculous. This whole episode, Buddha is so ridiculous. He's like, oh, I love this dish.
This is such a chefy. Chefs are assholes episode, and I fucking love it.
I know.
It's that movie that just came about the chefy asshole. The menu,
right?
Oh, so I love that movie. He's it reminds me of that.
He's like, oh, I love this dish. It's so iconically gagging. I was like, oh, gosh.
This is like the Willy Wonka, where every time you lick, there's a different flavor. I taste blueberry, hibiscus, tropical flavors, the mold islet, the Hobby Lobby. You can taste it. It's not just like a gimmick.
It kind of is, because you could just put blueberries and carrots and everything on a plate and just lick it up with your mouth, but that's fine. So
I mean, it's art, you know. So is it art, sweetie?
I know so, it's art. Listen, I'm not being anti-intellectual. I'm just laughing at
It's watching
Buddha.
People be assholes. Yeah, it's like watching people be snotty
like
assholes.
When, yeah, about like it. Given the chance to be like a total asshole about this, they will do it.
Yes.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Padma's like, your elimination challenge. We want you to create a dish that sends a message, is visually stunning, and can be eaten without utensils.
It can
like
be
me. My message is Gail, please wear something that's not terrible. She shows up in something not visually stunning, and she always eats without utensils. There you go. You'll see my work at judges' table.
Yes. So again, make something visually stunning and make sure it can be eaten the way Gail attacks a bowl of pudding without utensils. All right.
So Ali, now Ali gets to be pretentious because he goes, I'm excited because if you come to my restaurant, Ali, you will come inside and there's a very big hashtag that says, hashtag, I have a story to tell because I do believe chefs are storytellers. Like, okay.
Oh, shut up. Shut up like, with that.
It's like he has a hashtag neon art sign that says, I have a story to tell.
Yeah. I can't. That's a lot. And Padma's like, good luck, dummies. So she leaves. And then they're back in the car driving. And Buddha's like, I'm going all the way out. I get frustrated. I get put into this category that like, oh, you're just a tweezer chef. Or you're too molecular. And Amara's like, well, as long as it tastes good, you know. I mean, I'll eat a hamster if it has enough Stilton on it. God, I love Stilton.
I love Buddha getting annoyed that he's in a category of being like a tweezer chef. When literally when they had to cook something family style or like when Buddha served his room temperature salmon and he's like, it's called top chef, not top home person who makes food for a potluck. Like he literally got so snobby about it. And like also he has 10 million molds. It's like, I'll hate being put in this category of this person who cooks with molds and tweezers.
He also used tweezers in that episode to dress his salmon. I mean, there were like little microgreens all over it.
And when they had to do a picnic, he's like, guys, don't think of it as a picnic. Think of it as a series of amuse-bouches. It's like, this is why you're in the tweezer category.
Just enjoy it. Don't try not be in the tweezer cat. Like, no one wants to go to a pizza place by Buddha. You know what I mean? Stay in your lane. You do well in your lane.
Maybe because the pizza will have the image of a skull in the center of it. I called getting killed in a pizza oven.
I know. I cook all of my pizzas in a triangle mode. Mold. So then we go to Sarah, Nicole, and Dale's car, and Dale's like, well, I mean, sure, his dishes were good, but they took 3 days to make, eh? Like, how are we going to do that? And Sarah's like, I'm not going to have powders or gelées or foams. That's just not my fucking style. You know what this is going to be? Breast milk and beef. That's what they're getting in there.
So then Dale, now this is, Dale is so obnoxious. He's like, yeah, so I'm gonna, you know, they asked him, what are you gonna make? He goes, you know, I never thought much about Mexican food, and then like the first time I had mole, I was like, oh my god, I'm like a complete fool. Like, I literally blew my mind, and it's like so much beyond like French sauces. So like, my message is never judge food until the white guy says it's actually good, and then like, you know, then you know it's gonna be good. So I'm gonna make a mole sauce, you know, and like, I don't make it all the time, but I'm gonna make it. I'm like, this is like the typical like white guy who's like, hey guys, have you ever heard of mole? Yeah, let me show you how to do it.
It's also so racist that he's like, ew, Mexican food? Gross. I mean, Mexican food is nothing. It's like cheap, gross, disgusting food. And then I had mole, which rivals a béarnaise. I'm like, you're such an asshole. And I love that he thinks he's like caping it for the Mexican culture right now.
Yeah.
But he's like, wow, people really don't get it. Mexican food is good. We know, dude.
I know. That's the thing.
The rest of us fucking know and respect it. How dare you?
I mean, I wouldn't have, if he said like, I never really clicked with Mexican food until I had mole, and then suddenly like I got it, like that's fine. That's fine. But then he's like, so I'm going to make it. Even though I have not a lot of experience making it, I'm going to make it. Because like, I realized it was good, so now I can make it. And I can just like, I can just step into this like hallowed like food tradition, food making tradition, culinary tradition, and I'll just do it. Even though I've only made it 5 times. And like, literally anything you see about mole on cooking shows is about like how long it takes and generations have perfected this and that and all these spices. And he's like, oh yeah, I didn't really get it, but I'm gonna make it now because I like it now.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I just hope they don't say it's a Canadian mole. Nicole's like, is there maple in it? So then they get to Whole Foods, and Sarah's like, fuck it, give me some baby back ribs.
I know. I was surprised they had it. For some reason, I just felt like British people would be like, no, we don't carry that cut. It's a little bit too American for us. But they do. They have it.
We don't carry any cut of meat that has American restaurant jingles based on it. I want my baby back ribs.
Yes, we, yes, you're in luck. Our shipment of baby back ribs just arrived, and you'll just have to give us a moment. They're all wearing sweatshirts with the Tasmanian devil on it. Hold on 1 second. Okay, we've cut the American off of it.
I travel a lot because through food, that's how you get to know other people's cultures. Also whorehouses. But you know what? This isn't top whorehouse. It's like, Amar, okay, come back to the five and dime, Amar, okay?
Yeah.
He's like, I went to Thailand and fell in love with papaya salad, so I'm going to do that for Gagan, who happens to have his restaurant in Thailand, and that's risky. But I'm going to do it.
Just kidding. I never went to Thailand. I went to Morocco. You guys thought I went to Thailand. It was Morocco. So then Dale's also getting frozen corn, which is a bad sign, frozen corn. And then Gabri, he's going to make an al pastor taco because it's like the most famous taco, but he's going to use fish instead of pork. And then Charbel is saying how the challenge really speaks to him because the Lebanese people are going through a really hard time, especially after that crazy explosion that happened a few years ago, which is interesting because Rod and I did Dwell Hello a few weeks ago, where there was the person on that, she was works in the Foreign Service, and she was living in Lebanon, and she said that she had to move to France because it was like really tough over in Lebanon after the explosion. So it's oddly interesting to me how that explosion, which sort of seemed like a crazy thing, but like, you know, it's all something exploded, how it's really having an impact on Lebanon, you know, as seen through reality TV, I should say. I'm like trying to be like,
yeah,
wow, guys, but like, I've, you know,
It was a huge fucking disaster. But I think sometimes the news cycle, it's just like, oh, there's an explosion in a country.
Yeah, and then we just kind of
move on. You know, it's like,
it's a reminder it had a devastating impact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring it down.
They go into the kitchen and Nicole's like, the message aspect speaks to me because of where I'm at in my life. So this is based on 3 generations of Chinese culture. And there's a very good luck number and I'm about to adopt a child from Vietnam. Oh, 3 is a very good luck number. I'm about to adopt a child from Vietnam. I'm close with my mother. I'm business partners with my sisters. So that's my message right now. I was like, aw, I love her. Nice.
I write down
everything she says just because she's always like kind of smiling and like being sweet.
She's great. And then we have Tom and he's making a pumpkin. He's like, I'm making a pumpkin to use as ball gag. So pumpkins and carrots, like they look like I'm going to take pumpkins and carrots and I'm going to put them together to make them look like a little pumpkin in the end. I was like, wow, I like that. He's making pumpkin. He's going to shape pumpkin to look like pumpkin, but he's going to do it with mousses. And I still don't know really what his message is. And I actually never learned what his message was. I think his message is that, like, if you take big pumpkin, you can make it look like a little pumpkin. And
his message is, I always thought you had to travel a lot to see food, but then I learned you have to see your own produce at home. Pumpkin. I think you need more of a lesson there, but I'm not really sure. But too much of a good thing, you're going to be walking funny all the rest of the week. So watch out for your weekend, huh? Ding! Ali is doing a kibbe, which he calls kibbe, which, I mean, he would know better than me. Mm. But we always call it kibbe. So there you go. That was my biggest confusion.
Maybe it's kibbe in Lebanon.
I was like, I've been screwed by all of my ancestors.
Well, maybe it's kibbe in Lebanon and kibbe in Jordan. And because I've heard of kibbe, it could be anything. Guys, I'm an expert on the Middle East now since I read a Wikipedia page about that explosion. So I just want to inform everyone. I'm like the Dale of Lebanon right now.
Oh, I actually got my grandmother, my Sithi's cookbook for you.
Really?
I ordered it and I haven't given it to you yet. Yes, I need to remember to bring that next time. But kibbe in Lebanese culture, at least, are like ground meat balls, lamb usually, with bulgur wheat. And they're made into, they used to make them actually into little diamonds and stuff. So you could like pick it up and eat it with your hands and stuff.
Yum. That sounds delicious.
So it sounds like that's what he's making.
Yum. And he talked about how he's been advocating for the United Nations for the past few years about food waste. That's going to be his message. And then, and Charbel is making some stuff with, he's going to make like a homemade phyllo dough, which is really cool. So then back to Buddha. He's like, Gagan's one of those people who will go down in a lifetime as one of the greatest chefs in history, really, which is why I'm going to make food in the shape of a history book with reading glasses made out of bread.
I'm making a head of George Washington made out of cheese. because history. But he's like, no, I think that my hand mold actually feels most appropriate for this challenge. The hand is going to hold a cheese dip. Like, wow, he's actually got hands that are like this, right?
Just he's
like
got
cupping hands.
But the hands are not going to be edible, which is what was surprising to me. Like, the hands are just there as for presentation, which they're sort of just like, they ultimately wind up being kind of ghostly and strange. I don't know. So yeah. Victoire is going to celebrate African food by making a dish called akara. And then Gabri, his message is all about sustainable agriculture and corn. So he starts talking about corn and he's just like going on and on and on about corn and like.
That's so funny. He's like, 90% of the corn used in the world is transgenic. That means genetically modified. My uncle grows corn and organic corn. Like, he loves corn. My whole family loves corn. It just keeps cutting. It's like 5 minutes later, he's still going on about corn. 5 minutes later, he's still going on about corn. And then it just cuts to Victoria. She goes, shut up about corn. My God, man.
I love you. My God, please. I don't care about corn. No one cares. Your message is not strong for me. So then Sarah's like, I love eating with my fingers. That's like my favorite thing.
We know,
thing.
Sarah.
And then it gets to like
Padma just pops up. We know.
And then they showed this like footage, I don't know where it's from, of Sarah with this glass plate and she just picks it up and she just licks it all the way from bottom to top. top. Goes, she goes in.
She's like, well, it's totally a thing we do in my family. Visually stunning is what it's supposed to be. So I'm going to give him something that looks like one thing, but is actually another thing. So I don't know. What does she end up doing? Like a tree?
She wanted to be
like a tree log or something?
She literally made a rib. And it looked like a rib. Yeah.
But she put tiny flowers on it or something. So I think it was supposed to look like a log now, or something.
I know what y'all are thinking. This looks like a quilt, right? No, it looks like a rib. Well, guess what? It's a rib. I know. Stupid.
For a minute. So Tom is rolling up his mousse with pumpkin, and it has to freeze overnight. And so he's like wrapping them all up. And he puts kappa around it, which is a food stabilizer. Mm. And then Dale has only made mole. This is only the fifth time he's made mole. He's like, it's called mole number 5. It's like, no, don't do that either. Please just stop.
Please don't invoke Lumumba, because that's what you basically did. Lubega, I should say.
Please don't.
A little bit of Jessica in my mole. So, yeah, he's making that mole. It's making me mad. So now it's the next morning, and now, oh God. So we see a shot of Dale in bed, and he has about as bad of a chefy chest tattoo as it can be. I paused. Did you take a look at his chest tattoo? Let me describe it.
Okay.
It was a lot. So first of all, it's a whole sort of scene. It looks like a garden, and he has two pink flowers. And at the center of each flower, you know, like, what do you call the center? You know, like where the petals come off of? It's not like the bud, but is that like the pistil, the thing, whatever it is? But you know, like if you pluck the petals off of it, that circle part of a flower, you know?
Yeah.
Those are his nipples.
That's so the bud. Yeah.
Okay. So the bud, his nipples are the buds, and there's like tattoo petals coming around his nipples. Okay. So that already is so disturbing. And then there's like a boxer who's showing down against a magician. And then there's a giant heart in the center of all of this. And it just says, Mom.
Oh, geez.
It's like about as bad as can be.
Oh, gross. Yeah, he seems to be the kind of person who would have terrible tattoos.
Yeah, I think just like...
And I love that he really just sticks with his mom thing to like get off with all of his bad behavior.
Right.
Which we haven't really seen yet. We just know is lurking there, and we've seen it in the clip of when they showed him being like, God damn it! I need 3 pancakes! Or whatever it was.
Yeah, I just hated this tattoo because, you know, if he explained, he's like, yeah, because there's a boxer and a magician, because like I feel like I'm always fighting, but I always feel like I'm making magic at the same time. And it's all from my mom. I'm like, ugh, shush, go away.
So then we learn about Charbel. He talks about his brother. He says he moved to LA when he was 20 with his brother, and he didn't know any English, and they slept in like a little warehouse with a mattress on the floor. And he's really grateful to those days because now he can appreciate what he has. And I was like, damn.
That's crazy. Because he's like 25 or 26. So he speaks English really well, considering how much time has passed.
Yeah. I mean, it really makes me realize how ignorant I am. I'm like, wow.
I know.
I've used my life literally for no good. So thanks. So then we go over to the cars, or in the cars, and Amara's like, oh my God, this one is made for Buddha. This is for Buddha and Tom for this one. So if they don't make it, forget about it.
Yeah.
And it's cook time. It's time to cook stuff.
Yeah, so they're cooking. Ali is stressed because he has to make a green salsa, and he has to stuff his dough and cook his leaves, and he has mushrooms everywhere, and like he doesn't want to go home for this challenge. And then Amar is struggling. He's got to make an herb powder, and then he wants to deconstruct ingredients in his papaya salad. And then Gabri, he's happy because Mexican food is basically just eating with hands anyway. So, but he wants it to be stunning. So he actually makes, it's actually so cool. He makes a multicolor tortilla. And I was like, I feel like Ronnie's going to try to make this at some point.
No.
No?
I'm good with a single color tortilla.
Oh, okay.
They're enough of a pain in the ass without making 3 different doughs.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good with the orange.
Okay.
So then the judges come in. It's Pad, Miguel, Tom, Kagan, and they all come into the kitchen because that's where they're eating today.
Yeah.
And Gail's like, I always like eating in this kitchen. Yeah. The period should have come after eating, Gail. Run-on sentences are the only exercise you do. Aren't they?
I just like seeing them when they're cooking. You know, poor people scurrying about, trying to impress us, celebrities. It's just so enjoyable thinking that they could ever make me truly smile. Poor things.
And Tom's like, oh, the mousse is frozen and it looks good to me, but it needs to defrost 30 minutes, so I want to impress them. So, oh, God, I'm going to put them in little boxes. And Amar is doing like little dots. It looks like little Dippin' Dots.
It does.
Is his theme.
Papaya salad Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, it's like little dots that are all in lines, and he's got some kind of powder over it.
It's very cool. So Padma says, well, we're going to be eating two dishes at a time. It's like Gail when she goes to the opera.
So Ollie and Amar are first. And she's like, tell me about your dishes. And Ollie's like, today I've prepared something vegan. Mushroom kobe, chicken mousse, and pickled grape leaves. He's like, usually this is made with lamb, but the overproduction of lime stock harms our heart. I've chosen, and our earth. Sorry, I meant the earth. Probably the heart too. But I've chosen mushrooms because it's the best substitute for meat. And then Amar is talking about how travel is the best way to know other people's culture. So I did a seafood sausage wrapped in green papaya, peanut and tomato, something purees. Tomatoes. I wrote Tom. Tomatoes. you know what? They put me in a blender, and now I'm served as a tiny dot across the dish. And I tell myself, hey, this might not be the life I dreamed of, but at least they can't call me a mixologist. Okay?
Yeah. So then Amar's like, okay, so how you eat mine is you like you grab this thing here, and then you grab it at one end and just slide it all across.
Like this? How do I do it? Do I need a spoon? I'm so confused.
I know. I love that he had to give her a perfect example of how to do it. And she's very flavorful. And Gail's like, oh, I'm all in. Oh, is there a can of Crisco that you've jumped into around here, Gail? Sorry, Gail sees a hot tub and she just can't resist jumping in.
You know, doing a challenge like this gives the chefs a creative license just to go for it. It's like having a father who's a world chef, world-class chef, and the world's your oyster, and you can just go for it. And then for some reason you decide to be a mixologist. Like, why would you do that? Why would you even do that?
So Gagan is like, I lived in Thailand 15 years. Great Thai dish. The only thing I love more than the dish is licking my fingers. Can I get a close-up? All right, let's start.
I learned how to do this when I was filming my Carl's Jr. commercial. Gail, what commercials have you done? None. Oh, that's too bad. Let me call the people at Dress Barn and see if they need an official endorsement from you.
Licking her fingers? Can't stop, won't stop. And there goes Gail's pinky. Can we get someone to tie Gail's hands behind her back, please?
So Gagan loved Ali's interpretation of his culture, where meat is important. And he said, he's showing that meat doesn't have to be important. It's more edible by hands. And Tom goes, well, where do we go from here?
Well, I think we're going to go into... Where do we go from here? I think it's, in Gail's case, she's probably going to go to the marshmallow aisle and ShopRite. That's probably where she goes from here.
And Gail just says, I hope we go up. Why, is that where they're keeping the chocolate chips? So then Tom is like, oh, as I'm plating, I realized the mousse deflated too much. Oh, my God. Now it's just this mousse in the glass box. And Padma's like, all right, Buddha, you go first. Tell us your message. And he's like, this is called From the Hands of Mother Nature. So I've made hands out of nature. And I've caramelized onion and black garlic puree, brilliant savarin, shallot, and bread crumble with pickled vegetables. And there's like fall-colored flowers all over it. It's like an Aunt Getty's picture that just needs a baby.
Yeah. And again, you can't actually eat the hands. They just are ghost hands rising up. And Gail's like,
so did you just happen to bring the hand mold? No, Gail. He chopped off the hands of Ginger Spice and put them in a bowl. Of course he did. Bless her heart. She's a little slow sometimes.
Those are Begonia's hands, Gail, you idiot.
It's like
Buddha's like, it just happened to be the perfect. And Gail goes, moment. Oh, it's like your twins. Gail also brought a mold. It's called Spanx.
So now it is time for Tom. He's made his ginger and turmeric mousse, pumpkin and carrot chutney. And Gail says,
so you want us just to pick it up? No, Gail.
Use your spoon, of course, pick it up. It's a finger challenge. God, here's how you really do it. Did you mean to make this not able to be picked up nicely, idiot?
And Gagan's like, so your intention was for us to have dirty hands? And Tom goes, definitely, yeah. Fatman goes, interesting. And her, I'm not buying that, German. So then they're talking. And she's like, what do you think of the pumpkin dish from Tom? Well, I think it's, pretty interesting. There's a hint of ginger and fruit. But, that mousse is just not well made. It's broken. It's like Padma realizing she's dating someone without a bank account. Whoa, good one, Tom. You fuck. Fucking traitor, Tom.
At least I'd never show up on Watch What Happens Live dressed like Indiana Jones.
So, oh, my God. Yeah, you can't get Tom and Gail on Indiana Jones. It's like, this is why the world needs stylists.
Okay? Seriously. Gail's like, you know, I felt like with the mousse, the gel at the bottom was falling apart. Oh, like your manicures. I get that.
So Tom's like, well, I loved his story, but if Mother's Nature's bounty, I want more bounty, Buddha. Okay, you know? They're talking about Buddha, obviously. So then we go to Gabri and Charbel, and there is a Zitar phyllo, and it's shaped in the cedar tree shape, which is the Lebanon tree, which all my cousins got on their ankle, but didn't invite me to get one.
Oh.
Because they're fuckers. Actually, wow. They did invite me, but my mom was like, you were too young to get a cedar tree on your ankle. It's like, okay, if I still decide to identify as Lebanese when I'm older, I can get one? Like, what the fuck? Will I be less Lebanese when I'm 18?
Just get a giant one on your chest. Be like, well, they wouldn't let me have a little one, so now I'm big cedar tree.
No, I figure I wear too many low socks and people would be like, oh my God, that gay guy is a Christmas gay. He loves Christmas.
Yeah. Like, it's always a reminder that it's Christmas on my ankle. So so now the next things are coming to the table. And Tom's doing that thing where he's staring like a pigeon. You know, like when a pigeon comes up and it wants like bread, but you put down a piece of tinfoil or something and the pigeon stares at it like, am I supposed to eat that? Am I supposed to eat that? I don't understand what's going on. So Sarah serves a pecan pork with cocoa buttermilk. And her message is, everything here is cooked slowly. So slow down and enjoy the sweet things in life. Which to me felt a little bit like she came up with the dish and was like, yeah, well, I guess this is a message I could use. Be slow. Be slow. Buy a quilt. Does that work?
Yeah, that was a pretty stretchy message there.
Yeah.
And Gail's like, go slower. I'm picking up what you're putting down, sister. Gail, any slower, you'd be a Norman fucking Rockwell painting. All right?
Yeah.
God, I'm not holding one more elevator for you, by the way.
I really am picking up what you're putting down. Oh, did you put down a funnel cake? Is that what it is?
Yeah, she's picking up what you're putting down and putting it in her mouth like she does everything else. I literally put down my keys this morning and Gail swallowed them. Thankfully, my BMW is touchless.
Gagan's like, this could be a fast food chain, which is hilarious.
With the rib. Ribs.
A single rib.
A single rib with flowers on it.
Yeah, it's also funny when they talk about what fast food is. So then Dale is, and also, by the way, hilarious that her message is slow down and enjoy life. He's like, this could be a fast food chain. So I guess the message doesn't really work.
Dale, what about you? And Dale's like, you know what? I always saw Mexican food and I thought, God, gross. But, you know, I tasted my first mole and then I knew I was so ignorant. So my message is don't be ignorant.
Great message. Thanks, Dale.
Too fucking late, okay? We already heard your Mexico monologue, you dick.
So he's like, so yeah, here's some mole and some other, here's a corn custard and a pineapple pickled jalapeno, and just like swipe your chicken through that. And Tom's like, huh, and the green sauce, it's just cilantro? That's it? Just cilantro? He's like, yeah, just cilantro. That's it? Only cilantro? All right, fine.
Well, so, okay, well, you know what? You're just going to do a cilantro. Nothing else with that?
Nope. Huh.
You sure? You sure there's nothing else?
Nope.
Is there just any, cilantro. Well.
Any other beloved culinary traditions you want to put your own sad version on the plate? No?
So Gail's like, wow, Sarah sort of blew me away. She turned my idea of a dessert upside down. Like the time we waterboarded you with soft serve until you agreed to wear a solid color dress for once. Glad it worked.
You know, that's a lot coming from Gail. I mean, after all, Gail is the one who invented the rubber tire sundae.
So Gagan's like, eating with the hands was easy. The rib was falling off the bone, but still holding on to the bone. And Tom's like, whoa, I'm loving this buttermilk. Whoa, wow, whoa, whoa.
You know, Dale's chicken had a weird, flabby, floppy texture. Gail, you get it. You understand.
Gail, Gagan, would you like to relate that description to Gail trying on bathing suits? No, you're a wuss. Gail, it needed salt.
Gagan, please touch Gail's weenus. There. That's what the chicken tasted like.
Well, what I find interesting is the mole. That's the best part of it. And Gail's like, pineapple and mole. The ingredients were great, but that chicken vehicle fell short. That's why they don't make vehicles out of chicken. No one needs chicken as a vehicle. They're very dangerous. And this is coming from someone who's actually tried to drive a chicken.
Say, so Gail, BMW's our sponsor, not a chicken. God, you should have seen how awkward it was when she tried to open up the chicken's trunk.
So then cannoli. Victoria serves something that looks like a cannoli, and she says, this is the colors of my Africa. And Padma's like, okay, whatever. So Gabri, what's yours? And he's like, the most famous from taco from Mexico, but instead of pork, I use fish. And my message is corn.
So Padma's like, excuse me, one second, let me do this. That was a big
Gail's like, so
me.
I'm supposed to make a taco with this? He literally just called it a taco, Gail, for fuck's sake.
Gail, stop, take it off of your head. No, it's no, no, it's not a hair wrap. Come on, Gail, focus. Bless her heart.
But also, Gabri keeps giving them things that they have to put together themselves, which I think is really funny.
That is funny. So, Victoire, I was actually hoping that this was going to be like Victoire's redemption after a rough quick fire. You know, because normally they really like it when people cook from, like, their home, you know? So she made a cassava cannoli, textures of roots with potato and bacon cream and pineapple mango sauce. And Pam is like, when this dish is eaten normally, is it sweet or is it savory? And Victoire is like, well, it's actually, it's both, you know? It's in Ghana, it's savory, and in Congo, it's sweet. And Pam is like, I know of both those countries. I guess I'm just pretty smart that way. Thanks.
And Gagan's like, well, I love your message that Africa should not only be a safari land, but that also it should be taken seriously with food. And so as the judges talk, Gail thinks they're both interesting, and they loved Gabri's. And Gail's like, I'd licked it up. It's like, no one was surprised, Gail, okay? And Tom's like, turning a taco on its head? Delicious. Wow. Just turn that taco on his head, give it a couple of spins in a beatbox, he'd make a lot of money on the subway. I'm telling you, pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's great that he turned the taco on its head. It was less great when Gail actually put the taco on her head, but you know, she's learning, she's trying.
And Victoria tells a great story, but the dish wasn't great. You know, it wasn't great. And Gagan's like, oh, it was herbaceous and strong, but not strong enough. Yeah, a little more sugar. Padma in her anger. This is another Padma angry critique where she goes, it needed a little more sugar and a little more salt if she wanted to toe that line.
Listen, I know about those two countries. I've seen them on a map before. So that makes me an expert. So more sugar and more salt.
So, Charbel does brown, white, brown sauce. Oh, yeah. So he does like a sauce slides kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Nicole is doing her like emotional plating or whatever. So she presents hers first. And she's like, this is called three. And it's in regards to three generations. My mom is a single mother of three, and I'm about to embark on adoption. There's a child in Vietnam waiting for me right now. Padma's like, why wait? Take Gail.
A child waiting in Vietnam. Congratulations. Is it famous? Has it been to Paris yet? Just want to know the degree to which I can shame it. Thanks so much. So, then Charbel, Charbel's is amazing, okay? Because it already looked beautiful, but then when you realize he's actually made the Lebanese flag out of those purees, and that he's, his phyllo cedar trees are like the tree on the flag, it's like, it's great. So it's labneh with confit garlic and za'atar paste and tomato puree. And it's just like really wonderful. And Tom's like, huh, you know, I only wish there were two trees on your flag, not one. Could I have a phone call with your president and say, hey, can you propose some more trees? Because your trees are delicious. I love them.
And Padma's like, well, what did you think of Nicole's roll? Tom's like, well, you could taste all the flavors, but it ain't dry. Oh, it's like Gail before she goes swimming. But it was probably the easiest to eat. And Gail's like, I loved her story. I could taste the adoption. It was delicious.
I love Charbel's flavors. Basically, we're just eating sauce with the cracker, but it packed so much flavor. I loved it.
I'd like to point out it's twice now, 2 weeks in a row, that last week Charbel made a couple sauces, and this week he made sauce. Because last week he did the crudité with the different dips. Now, dips are important in our culture, but
last week felt a little bit more egregious because it was just like crudités. At least this time he made like phyllo dough, you know?
Well, the phyllo dough's the easier thing, don't you think, than making three different sauces or three different dips?
I think phyllo dough seems hard to make it that thin, and they have to go, don't you have to like roll it out thin and roll it out? I don't know. Phyllo dough seems scary to me, so I'm intimidated.
No. So, Padma's like, yeah, I mean, it was just crackers, but so much flavor. And Tom's like, when you do high concept, it's, it's a process. And being able to produce at this level, wow, that is exceptional. Is there a ball chasing me? Because I'm going to run down this tube like I'm about... Okay, Indiana Jones, that's enough. We'll see on Watch What Happens Live in just a minute.
So, you know, now the chefs all go back. They're in the stew room, and they're, like, trying to figure... They're talking about how, like, Tom never gives any feedback whatsoever. And then we go to judging. And Tom's
I know. I like that Ali, I have to say something. Ali goes, oh, my message, guys, it was very sensitive. It was climate change. It's like, oh, wow, deep. That's your message? It's very deep.
It's almost
did
as deep
it taste,
as...
Did it taste like gas?
It's almost as deep as don't be ignorant. So now it's judging. And Tom's like, well, we ate really well today. We did really well. Yeah. Well, we tried to eat well. It was a little hard with Gail stacking all our plates and throwing them in her mouth. But yeah, we did eat well. Yeah. And Tom's like, you know, this was where the competition just got really, 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 really serious. You know, it was all those messages about be slow, don't be ignorant, climates, and little pumpkins. Wow. Real serious right now.
Three chefs stood out, Charbel, Ali, and Amar. Everyone else stepped to the side. And Charbel's like, the Middle East boys are kicking ass. There were a lot of beautiful dishes today. It was just hard to choose just three. Amar, all those flavors from Thailand really came to life in my mouth.
Yeah, and I really liked the presentation. It was different, but it never lost sight of the flavors. Sort of like when you decide to wear a fedora on Watch What Happens Live with a scarf around it. It looks crazy. But it's still just Tom. You know what I'm saying?
And Ali, your message was, we don't need meat at every meal. And I say that as someone who owns a steakhouse, who serves meat, kills a lot of animals. Okay, great dish. It was a great dish still. Yeah, it had all that aromatic crunch. And the inside was soft and warm and savory. Kind of like Gail on a camping trip. It's like one of Gail's sleeping bags. Just soft, warm, and savory inside.
But don't get too close. So Gail felt Charbel's was a call to action. And Thomas thought it was alive and vibrant. And Gagan loved the boldness. And Charbel was saying how it was very personal. And now... the winner was Ali. And Ali is like, oh, God, you know, being in the bottom yesterday, I'm just so glad I had this comeback so I could win my third one and continue being the extremely humble top winner of the season so far. Because that's what it's hard to... What did he say last week where he was like, you know, being humble is really hard when you keep winning or something like that. He said something so obnoxious last week. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but I don't remember the exact quote, but that's him. He's like, I lost earlier and then I won today. You know, he's always shocked when he's not the top. You know, he's like, well, I guess I'll be back tomorrow. So we'd like to see Dale, Victoire, and Tom now. You dummies. Everyone else stand here and watch us rip them to shreds.
And Pam is so mean. She's like, the three of you had our least favorite dishes in a day where we had 10 extraordinary dishes. So does that make anyone feel bad? If anyone would like to cry, now is the time to start.
Mm. How did it go for you, Dale? I see that even your mustache is uncurled today. And he's like, well, you know, it was really a revelation for me because this was the fifth time I've made a mole and basically the fifth time I've said Mexican food isn't as ignorant as I thought it was. So, and I mean, to me, it has to be one of the most intense and interesting sauces in the old world. I mean, have I mentioned that it beats béarnaise?
I mean, I'm not sure anyone here has heard of mole before. It's really my honor to introduce it to all you guys. And maybe you didn't like it because maybe you just don't know about it yet. But like, as a white guy who's tried it once, I can tell you, it's really good, and you should have your minds open to it. Don't be ignorant. Hashtag.
Of course we've heard of it. Gail's got a bunch of them on her back, shaped like a Ben and Jerry's carton. So Gagan's like, look at Ali. Yesterday he didn't do well, and today he's a winner. Victoire, I love your socks. I can't stop watching them. And your story. Unfortunately, I didn't feel any seasoning in your food. If only you had put some socks. Yeah. Only you had some socks in your food.
Unfortunately, this isn't top sock. And even if it were, I still don't like your socks. Gagan, what are you talking about? So Padma's like, what is this dish? I mean, can you... Victoire, this dish from the Congo or Ghana... What is it? You referenced it. You said it was some sort of street food. Is this food that you find on a street and you pick it up and you eat it? How does that work? What is street food anyway?
Who did we steal street food from? And Victoria's
are
like,
there streets in the Congo? I'm just asking questions.
You get roots of potatoes and you cut it and you fry it. And Tom's like, ah, so how did you cook this? And she goes, I boiled it with the skin on. And Gagan's like, but you lose all the starch that way. And Tom's like, yeah, that's it. I feel like you're talking about it. You should fry it. And this isn't fried. And, you know, neither am I. And I can say with confidence, we're bland, both of us, your dish and me. We're both pretty bland people. I suggest your next dish, get some kind of a safari hat. That's what I suggest.
Yeah.
German Tom, how did the day go for you? Were you happy with your decision to put wet mousse in a plastic box and pass it off as finger food?
And he's like, oh, today was amazing. I was excited to make it, and I made it. So I'm very good. I don't know why I'm here. And Gagan's like, it was beautiful. But for me, it was very difficult to eat with the hand. And Padma's like, the flavors of your dish were amazing. That's not why you're here. It was a technical issue. It's like, what is Padma? Why does sometimes Padma is just like on a stage sobbing, you know? And then she just calms right back down. It's like,
And then Tom does his favorite thing. He loves doing this to people on the bottom. I mean, if the mousse set and we're actually able to pick it up, I mean, he would have won this thing. But instead, it was literally the worst thing I ever did in my life. How could you do this to me? Otherwise, it would have been the best thing I ever had in my life. I can't believe you did that.
So now it's judges alone time. And Padma's like, well, Dale gave us no seasoning. Yeah, the chicken was bland and the mole didn't have any depth. And Gagan's like, yeah, that was the mildest Mexican dish I've ever had in my life. Like, yeah. Dale, yeah, one thing I would never suggest for Dale to make is Mexican food.
Well, I mean, okay. Dale has sort of played it safe. Let's see, the last thing he just made was the chicken soup. And then last week, I think he made like a deviled egg. I feel like a lot of stuff has... And when he went home because they're doing a scotch egg and he wanted to just serve a salad instead of trying to do an interesting side. So, like, the idea of this person making a mole, it's just like, it's not going to work out right, you know? So, yeah. Victoire is talking about how she's saying that she wanted to change the view of the African gastronomy. And Tom's like, you know, my problem. I just didn't know what the dish was. It was like, what is this? Is it a cannoli? Is it a glove? Is it a car?
What is this? I can't tell. I can't figure it out.
It was basically a pile of potatoes. Tom, Gail, it's not like Gail's
she's
putting
right
her
there.
Hands in with the team by herself.
Tom, there's only one pile of potatoes here, and she's standing in front of us. Quiet.
So, the sweet potato had no taste, and Gail's like, well, she said in the original dish that the components were fried. I mean, if you're going to make a change, it needs to be an improvement. And nothing's improved by not being fried. I mean, has anybody been able to go back to regular butter?
Well, that's what I tell Gail every time she's raiding the bargain bin at Dress Barn. If you're going to make a change, make sure it's an improvement. And then what does she do? She comes back with paisley and polka dots in her culottes. Ridiculous.
Gail's like, yeah, I mean, you really need an improvement there. Yeah, well, why don't you tell your hairdresser that every time you go in, Gail? It's actually good advice. So then there's Tom. And they're like, oh, we had to scoop up his mousse with our fingers. It was so delicious. And it looked so beautiful.
I just don't know what to do. I mean, there it was, mousse in a box, so delicious, so beautiful, but I couldn't figure out how to get into my mouth, which made it the worst thing I ever ate ever.
So let's get them out of here and eat them with our hands. Let's get all the chefs out here and eat them with our hands. I'll eat Dale. So they call them back out, and Tom has his monologue. He's like, you know, chefs, we all have our stories to tell. My story is an egg that was supposed to be cooked beautifully, but instead refuses a real education and legacy and comes out liquidy in a glass and sold to any idiot off the street in what is called a bar. So one of you is going to go home. But it's not the end of your story, because I also have a show online.
Padma? Padma?
Dale, Padma? Please pack your knives and go. Again, okay? Hashtag you had a story to tell and it was boring. Okay.
Please pack your mustache and go to Mexico and pay attention while you're there.
I'm so sorry your return was short, but at least it was hilarious, at least for us. Oh, are you crying? I'm so sorry. This must be humiliating for you. Hold on. Let me take a picture of your humiliation so I can laugh about it with my famous friends tonight. Hold on. Stay still. All right. Great. Thanks so much, Dale.
And Dale's like, well, that's me, two-time loser, so feels terrible, okay? And it's a very different season, but I got to get beat by some of the best chefs in the world, so I'm going to keep fighting and hopefully slide into the finale. If Dale wins his way into the finale, I'm going to be pissed. I do not want to see this man again.
At least I got to introduce Mole to the world. That's going to be his thing. So anyway...
Exactly.
Anyway,
at least I'm leaving here a pioneer, a mole pioneer.
Yeah. Anywho, so I was actually, on the one hand, I was really thrilled that Dale went home because I can't stand him. But on the other hand, there was a little sad because he was shaping up to be a good villain, but he's actually a terrible villain because every time his villainy started to really appear, he would get sent home. So, you know, he's not like one of those Top Chef people who just like manages to stick it through week after week. He's just sent home. He's like,
I don't need more Dale.
He's not even good enough to be a villain. to be a proper villain.
Yeah, we don't like him, but he's not particularly a villain. He's just no fun. You know, he's a wet blanket. Which you can buy at Paducah if you really want one.
Well, I have a wet blanket mold, actually. Bring it up.
Don't worry,
week.
It eventually crusts over. All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being here.
Yes. Love ya. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.